Our reading this evening is from Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. In the name of Jesus, amen. On Facebook, there's these fantastic videos that have been going around of little kids who they were either mostly deaf or really, really hard of hearing, but the point was that they couldn't hear hardly any at all. They couldn't hear the voice of their mom. They couldn't hear the voice of their dad or brothers or sisters or anything. And the video would be them at the doctor's office, and the doctor would put on this super-powered hearing aid. You've seen these? It's amazing, right? They say super-powered hearing aid. They'd put them on, and they would record the face of the child when he listened to the voice of his mother for the first time, or he listened to the voice of his father the first time. And it would be this amazing, amazing joy. With the proper hearing, your life changes. And as we consider this reading this evening from Acts chapter 8, this is kind of where I want you to go. This is where I want you to be thinking. I want you to be thinking that with the proper hearing, your life completely changes. So we have this eunuch, this court official from Ethiopia, And he's a God-fearer, which, you know, we talked this morning with this text that this is a very surprising thing. He's not anywhere close to Jerusalem. He's miles and miles and miles away, days journey away, but he's a God-fearer. He's a Jew who fears God. And he had traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. He's on his way back, and he's reading the prophet Isaiah, which we talked this morning. That's a big deal. That's a huge, surprising thing. Bibles, prophet Isaiah, scrolls did not fall from the sky. Really expensive thing. But note, you know, the spirit goes and tells Philip to go join this eunuch. And Philip asks a fantastic question. Do you understand what you are reading? And what's his response? How can I unless someone guides me? And Philip sits down. He invites Philip to sit down with them. And they read this passage. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. And then the eunuch asks Philip this question, about whom, I ask, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So do you get the picture? That we Christians have a wonderful gift in having the Bible so accessible to us. You can put it on your computer, you can put it on your smartphone, you can listen to it in your car. How many Bibles do you have at your home? How many Bibles are sitting around here at the church? And it's so wonderfully important that you read it, that you open it up, that you let the Lord's Word bless you. But at the same time, we are never an island to ourselves. We, as individual Christians, can be blessed individually by the Lord's Word, but it's so comforting to know that you can also come to church and be blessed by the Lord's Word as a group. Be blessed by the Lord's Word as you have a pastor. Be blessed by the Lord's Word as you have Christian friends. And you can ask questions like this. About whom is this passage about? About himself or about someone else? You know, how can I unless someone guide me? You have the gift of being guided. You have the gift of being taught. You have the gift of gathering together and having the Lord's Word opened in this very specific way. Who is it about? From Genesis to Revelation, from creation to the end of the world, who is it about?
Jesus.
That key question, about whom is the prophet speaking? And then Philip opens his mouth and tells him the good news about Jesus. Now, if we did not have that, if we did not have our Lord's crucifixion firmly planted in our mind about the love of his death that he has for us, if we did not have that firmly planted in mind, what in the world would these words be about? Like a sheep led to the slaughter, so a lamb before it shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. Would you have any idea what those words were about if you didn't have the death of Jesus? I think that, you know, this guy, he's rightly confused, right? You know, what's he talking about? And yet we Christians have this cross-shaped key to unlock everything wonderful and everything comforting and everything guiding and everything enlightening about the Lord's Word, this cross-shaped key that says, this is all about Jesus. And the passage that he's reading from is Isaiah chapter 53, and we did this as a responsive reading. But just note who's doing the positive verbs. Note who's receiving the punishment. It's all he. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And where's the part of the scripture that's about us? all we, like sheep, have gone astray. I mean, do you see that in Isaiah chapter 53? That the gift of God's wrath and the peace that we have being placed from Jesus is all he, and then the only time it turns into we is the time where it's like, hey, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. So when you get up in the morning and you say your prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, what is God doing for you with that? He's reminding you that the rest of your day is not about you. It's about him. It's about Jesus. And you pause during the middle of the day and you say, Our Father who art in heaven. And how does it go? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. And this takes us out of ourselves. It takes us out of our selfishness. And in ourselves, we're tempted toward either being really proud or falling into the pit of despair. And it takes us then instead into him, where our comfort is, where our peace is. And it then teaches us how we are to be as well. So Philip opens his mouth, tells him the good news about Jesus. Somehow, in the midst of all of that sermon that he said of the good news of Jesus, he must have said, as we looked at this morning, he must have said something about baptism, because the eunuch says, remember, that you're in a desert place, so there, I don't know if he had some water on him or he came across a little oasis or something like that, but he said, hey, see, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? Yeah, so they must have been traveling then together. Mm-hmm. It's a desert place, come upon some water. So it certainly wasn't something he had on him. It was they come along the road. And he says, all this stuff that's about him, I think I'd like to be a part of, right? All this stuff that's about him, I'd like to be united with that guy. My whole day, my whole life be about him. So I gave you some verses to meditate on too, which the point has been made and will be made again that the reason that the comfort that we have in the Holy Scriptures is that it's all about Jesus. So John chapter 5, verse 39, you search the Scriptures, Jesus says, because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. And Luke chapter 24, verse 26, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. All the Psalms, all the prophets, from the promise to Adam and Eve that there will be one who will crush the head of the serpent, to all the way in Revelation where the Lamb is reigning on his throne. It's all about our Lord. And it's so, so wonderfully comforting to be taken out. Did anything stick out for you, comfort you, give you joy, or confuse you in any portions of the readings that you had this morning?
39.
Yes.
I think that's 39. And when they came up out of the water, mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit of the Lord carried Peter away. You know, that I'm thinking like a child, or I'm thinking like when I read the Bible, when I read scripture and I study, a lot of questions come.
Oh, yeah.
So the question is coming up, what do you mean by carried? Is it, I mean, I'm thinking an answer and I'm thinking another answer. I mean, did it disappear or pop up? Or?
I know. Every time I think that, I don't know. Do you know how some people pick up cats? They pick them by like the back of their neck. Have you ever seen like that? That's the picture that I have. That the Holy Spirit picked up Philip and just kind of dragged him away for miles and miles until all of a sudden he was, where did he get? Found himself at Azotus. I don't know. That's the picture I have too.
I just wanted that,
Yeah.
I know when they were in the upper room,
that God appeared to them.
Right.
Didn't say he walked through the door or anything like that. You know, he just popped in.
He appeared.
You know, that's what I'm saying. But God can do anything. I cannot question that.
Right.
But I just wondered about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I was listening to some pastors this morning that said that word could maybe be like, you know, the Holy of the Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord kind of directed or something like that. Uh-huh. So, you know, it could be as simple as Philip, you know, walked away because the Spirit told him, walk away and go to Azotus too. But we also don't want to take away that possibility that, in fact, he was just carried away. Both are possible, you know. You know, we don't want to take away that miraculous idea. It's probably not going to happen to you. Probably not going to happen to me. You know, Philip's a bit of a different person than we are.
It wasn't too scared for him, for the unit, because the unit just carried on.
He goes on rejoicing.
They wasn't too much of a scare. They're like, well, where did he go?
Right.
He continued on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point too. Yeah. The eunuch doesn't think twice about anything, too. He doesn't. I mean, that's what's in. That's another thing interesting about the text, and we looked at this morning too. Is that the eunuch, to his credit, Philip just kind of appears, and Philip says, "Hey, what you reading? Do you get it?" And he talks to him, and he invites him to sit down, and hey, have a seat next to me. Help me out here. He received him. 1 John talks about that a lot, about that being a sign of a Christian. As Christians receive other Christians receive pastors. So there's some fun stuff happening here. Anything else stick out?
The only other thing that this morning when we were talking, and you said that we teach the adults, we teach before we baptize.
Right.
And then the children, you baptize and then teach.
Right.
And that just sort of stuck out because there are a lot of places, they said, well, no, we're not going to do anything until they get this age. And then they said, well, they'll do a commitment or something.
Right.
But it's not baptism. They wait to, but we wait till they get a certain age and they can answer, on their own.
Right.
But what if you taught them up until that age?
Right.
Before they even get to that age that you said they need to get to the age before they baptize.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And whatever they're being taught, if they're confessing Jesus as Lord, then they've received the Holy Spirit and faith. And when did they receive that faith? They must have received it before, too. So children can believe, and how young can they believe? We know baptism and teaching go hand in hand. And if that's all we knew, then maybe we would, if that's all we knew, but that's not all we know. We know that Jesus says, go and baptize all nations. We know that in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, this promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off too. So that's why we baptize first, teach later for the children. But we kind of follow this model here too. We teach first, baptize later for adults. Because you're a little more mental.
The rest of your life is going to be teaching.
Right.
All the way to the end.
Right. Right. Which you can kind of see the danger of a drop-off baptism, which I think some are tempted to do, right? I want to have my baby baptized, but I won't see you in church until 6-7 years from now, right? Baptism and teaching go hand in hand. You can't feed a child one meal and think that's going to last him for years or days. You keep feeding them. You keep bringing them to church. You grow up in a liturgy. Pretty soon they got it memorized. Pretty soon they're praying the Lord's Prayer and saying the Creed and saying Confession and Absolution. And yeah, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, so understanding some of what they're saying and everything. A lot of times now you see a lot of people, they just bring them, have them baptized, and then every 2 or 3 years you see them again.
Right.
So what have they gotten in between there? What have you taught them?
Right.
In between that time.
Yeah. And we rejoice that they brought them here for that one time. We do rejoice in that, and we won't ever turn them away, too. And will baptize the kid always. But yet admonish and encourage the mom and dad to come back. Good. Anything else? Let's rise and pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with your spirit. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you that as you were led before those who crucified you, you were silent, so that you could answer for all our sin. Teach us now and always through your word about yourself, and grant us the joy that we have in a union that we have with you in your death and resurrection in holy baptism. For you live and reign with the Father and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O gracious Lord, you say that all Scripture points to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we may hear these Scriptures with joy and consider the wonderful peace that we have in him. That not only Scriptures are about him, but that we are also in him, that he is our peace, that he is our joy, and that we don't live, it is Christ who lives in us. Hear us then now as we commend ourselves to you, in faith that you are strong and merciful and mighty, and that we do not belong to ourselves and we are not in ourselves, but that we are in you. So now we pray for all things that we now name with hearts and voices. We pray for the whole Church of Christ, that all Christians might find joy in Christ alone, that faithful pastors would continue to preach that in the Scriptures there is eternal life, but that they specifically bear witness to Jesus, that you continue to give all Christians, pastors, laity alike, faithful friends and pastors that would teach them, beginning with Moses and the prophets, to interpret all the Scriptures, the sayings concerning Jesus. Hear us as we pray for holy living and for faith in the promises and for all things that we need for body and soul. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Oh.